Greetings, and welcome to Bear Soup Podcast. This is your host, Ron Suresha, bringing you episode number 96. Ahead in this program, a reading from Jeff Mann's story, Wolf Moon, Hunger Moon, from his new collection of bearish vampire stories, Desire and Devour, Stories of Blood and Sweat, from the friendly furry folks at Bare Bones Books. News, skews, views, and interviews for the online Ursine community. It's Bear Soup. Thrilled to be able to read a selection from Jeff Mann's new collection of bearish vampire stories, Desire and Devour, Stories of Blood and Sweat. And here's the description from the back cover of the book. Desire, the longing for the touch of men, the edge of hunger, the need for supplicants craving a sweaty embrace, a passionate tryst in the dark. Devour, to drink, to dispatch, to swallow, to quench one's unimaginable thirst, to leave an empty vessel behind as one walks away into the night. More than 150 years before Dracula ever touched English soil, Scottish Highlander Derek MacLean became one of the undead to bring a terrible vengeance on those who had taken the man he loved, but revenge could not sate his appetites for sweat and blood through the years, and a mortal learns to survive, to love again, as the lives of mortals are bright and brief flames that attract vampires like amorous moths. Award-winning author Jeff Mann has collected his erotic and powerful stories of Derek's unlife, adventures that travel centuries and the globe. Loosen your collar, bare your throat, sigh in expectation, but do not forget to shiver as this burly and brawny stalker of men steps behind you to brush his beard against your neck as his hands grasp you where you most need to be touched. To get more information on Desire and Devour, you can go to the Bare Bones Books website or the Facebook page for the book or to TLA Books. You can check out Desire and Devour, as well as the other 13 fabulous nonfiction and fiction titles from Bare Bones Books at the website, barebonesbooks.com. That's www.barebonesbooks.com. I do hope you'll enjoy this story, even with my bad accents, or lack thereof. And now the story, Wolf Moon, Hunger Moon, by Jeff Mann. "He won best butt at the Roanoke Bear Run," Matt whispers. We're watching our waiter's ass with avid fascination as he crosses the cafe to place an order. I can smell the boy from here. My vampire senses are almost always an advantage unless I'm around garlic or that Appalachian equivalent, the wild onions called ramps that folks hereabouts love to feast on in the spring. Something about his aroma is abnormal. There's a feral whiff I find both arousing and worrisome. I can smell animal in the musks of most men, which is why I like my prey unwashed. No damned colognes for me. But this boy's scent is wild in a way I haven't smelled in a very long time. "Woof," Matt says, grinning. "I'd sure like us to make a sandwich out of that cub. You didn't see the butt contest since it was held in the afternoon and you were sleeping, but man, I did. They had the contestants strip down underwear and then doused him with water and had him bend over and, Lord, that waiter, big ol' chunky rear. Through the wet boxers, you could see the hair all over his cheeks and in his ass crack." Matt smacks his lips. "No wonder the little bastard won. My husband's as horned up as ever, and I love it, whether the object of his lust is myself or other men. We've been together for 10 years. His age is finally showing a bit. He's 45, as muscular as ever, but thicker around the middle. his shaggy hairs stippled with gray, as is his bushy goatee. When he grins, there are faint lines around his hazel eyes. He's never been handsomer, more desirable, but still I recognize the signs, the slow way he's leaving me. I too age when I haven't fed for a while. Tonight my black beard and ponytail are silver-streaked as well. But after several deep draughts of blood, I'm young again. I look like I'm 30 again, the age I was when I was turned.
I know what you're thinking, Matt says, flashing me that fur-framed grin that made me fall in love with him. You're thinking how damned black that hot little waiter's beard is compared to my grizzled geezer look, and how much you'd like to tie him to our bed and pump that plumptious rear of his.
Plumptious?
Great. Actually, I'm thinking that I'd like to have you two roped down side by side, so I could take turns riding your butts. He looks like a younger version of you. I sip my wine and look out the cafe window. January flurries, dusting the streets of Monterey, Virginia.
Yow, that would be a hot scene.
Matt rubs his hands together.
Might try to arrange that. Let me lay on my hillbilly charm. Hasn't failed me yet.
Matt's enthusiasm is adorable. His earthy, untrammeled sensuality is one of the many reasons I cherish him.
Or I could mesmerize him, I say, if you want him that bad.
My knee bumps his. It's always been fun being Matt's conspirator in seduction. 4/5 of the time, his good looks and aggressive appeal are enough. Though I doubt we'll need my powers of glamour. You're a long damn way from being a geezer, and you know it. With your charisma, you can still land any stud you want. Matt strokes his beard and chuckles. Such flattery. I love it.
Well, don't know about charisma, but I will say I look a little younger every time you bareback me.
Thinking that, the human lovers you had before, did you notice that?
Yep.
I take a sip of red wine and grin, flashing a split second of bared fang. Regular ass loads of vampire semen do seem to prolong a mortal's youth.
Well then, how about later tonight you inject me with a little of that fountain of youth, Daddy?
Matt's whisper is husky. Beneath the table, his Carhartt boot rubs mine.
Get us a fire going in the bedroom, cuff me and cuddle with me, work my nips on, stuff a jock in my mouth, and...
I savor listening to Matt's hoarse, butch-bottom requests as much as he savors composing them, but his lusty whisper is interrupted by our waiter, who reappears with a solemn look and a heaped tray. There's something tense about him, an anxious aloofness.
Here we go, he says flatly, doling out a plate of cat's head biscuits and a bowl of beef stew for Matt, plus more wine for me. Hope you all enjoy.
His bass voice is almost absurdly deep. The cub half turns to leave, giving me a meaty profile of peck and belly flesh filling out the front of his black t-shirt. Matt's not about to let this shy fine get away so easily.
Donnie, right? He says, breaking open a biscuit. I saw you at last summer's run, the one the Virginia Mountain Bears put on.
The boy turns back to us, running a nervous hand over his buzz cut. He's short, several inches less than Matt's 5'8", with broad shoulders and a burly frame. Not more than 25, I'd wager.
Can't recall the last time I saw skin that pale, eyes that dark, a beard so black, or arms so hairy.
The fur starts at the wrists, coats his forearms, and continues on up to beefy biceps before disappearing beneath the sleeves of his t-shirt.
The run? Really?
Really? I saw you win that contest, too. You deserved it.
Matt stares at him.
Finest butt in the New River Valley, I'd say.
I may be a preternaturally powerful member of the undead, but Matt's infinitely bolder when it comes to flirtation. The boy blushes furiously, the stern look breaking to a sheepish grin, a glint of white teeth, before returning to tense solemnity.
Whoa, man. Thanks, thanks.
He stammers, dark brown eyes sidling sideways. For a guy so handsome, he seems painfully shy.
That run was fun.
I bet you had a slew of admirers, Matt says. Not much in the way of queer nightlife around here, I bet.
In Monterey? Donnie snorts. Hell no. Nearest bar's Roanoke.
Yeah, we get it, Matt replies. We're small town boys, too. I'm Matt Taylor, he adds, offering his hand.
They shake. The contact continues about 2 seconds longer than it would have if they were straight.
Strong grip, Donnie says with a wince. Now that you mention it, I remember you too. And you too, sir. Are y'all partners?
Sir, I love it. Yes, indeed. I'm Derek McLean. I offer my hand.
Donnie's grip is firm and warm. His feral-scented musk washes over me. It seems familiar. It makes my cock harden and the hair on the back of my neck prickle with unease.
Have a seat.
I pat the booth beside me. If you have time. Donnie looks back at the kitchen.
Well, he murmurs, then half reluctantly scoots in.
Thanks, bud, Mr. McLean.
I got a few minutes. So what are y'all doing here?
Y'all live around here?
The booth's narrow. Donnie's denimed thigh is a warm pressure along mine.
We live up in West Virginia, I say, in German Valley, about half an hour away.
Big mountaintop farmhouse we call Mount Storm. I telecommute. I'm in publishing. And Matt here works for the Forest Service.
Yep, exclaims Matt. I'm a damn good cook, too, if I say so myself.
Gotta come up for dinner sometime. We got a fireplace and a hot tub. Bring your boyfriend if you like.
I'm a single as of, yet.
Donnie mutters, an admission that causes Matt to break into a pleased grin. Donnie drops his gaze and brushes a crumb off the tablecloth.
But, well, sure, ma'am. Sometime.
Do you like our little cafe?
Derek here, he works days, so he don't make it down much, but hell, I'm here at least once a week, gobbling up all your pintos, chow chow, and cornbread. Plus, I can't get enough of these cat's head biscuits.
How come I ain't ever seen you here before?
Good-looking cub like you, I wouldn't have missed. Donnie musters another blush and clears his throat.
Thanks for the compliment, bud.
You all are, you're a handsome couple, for sure.
He looks intently, first at Matt, then at me, before yet again dropping his eyes.
Well, I'm new around here, just moved to the area. I rent me a little trailer near Headwaters.
Matt takes a deep breath. I can feel him gathering his energies, preparing to make an even bolder move, when Donnie abruptly rises.
Well, look, Mr. Taylor, Mr. McLean, it was real nice. It was real nice to meet you. Y'all seem like real cool dudes, but I better be getting back to work.
Whoa, hold on. Here.
Matt fumbles out a business card and pushes it into Donnie's hand.
Email's on the back, and there's my cell phone number.
What's your number?
Thanks, man. I gotta go. He hurries off, our gazes once again affixed to his butt.
Matt's stew and biscuits are soon scarfed, my wine soon done. We rise, tugging on our coats.
Donnie's avoided us the remainder of the evening, save for shyly leaving our bill, then taking our money with a stuttered thanks and averted eyes. I leave a big tip nonetheless. We step out into falling snow and head down the street to Matt's 4x4.
Shit, Matt says, cocking his WVU cap over his eyes. I thought for sure he was into us.
So much for my hillbilly charm, huh?
Next time, Derek, use your glamour.
Man, we gotta get us some of that.
A week later, Matt's got a wood fire going when I enter the den, refreshed from my day's sleep in the cellar. Long used to my undead rhythms, he gives me a hard hug and a wet kiss on the cheek.
Here you go, honey, he says, handing me a tumbler of Tobermory, my favorite single malt, from the Isle of Mull, home during my mortal life so long ago.
I can smell bread baking.
Making me some pumpernickel to go with sausages and sauerkraut, Matt says, rubbing his belly. My Germanic ancestors have bequeathed me certain appetites.
Wish you could eat some, but I guess I feed you in other ways.
He gives me a salacious wink and rubs his butt against my crotch.
Vulgar hillbilly, I say, squeezing a pat.
Damn right. Ain't that why you love me?
I sit back on the big leather couch. Matt sits at my feet, stein full of beer, his head resting against my knee. Rita McKennitt's new CD fills the room. Beyond the windows, the flurries continue. A full moon rises, breaking every now and then through clouds to silver the snow-pale lawn. Unspeaking, we watch the fire flicker and leap. 10 years together have made our companionship as much comfort as passion. It's a precious balance, something that, before Matt, I hadn't had for over half a century. I still miss him, my last human lover, Gerard McGraw, that sweet, cocky boy who died in World War II. Bread's done, Matt rises. In the kitchen, he gobbles a quick supper of pumpernickel, sausages, and kraut, then returns to the den with another beer. Look here now, he says, tossing me the newspaper as he settles once more at my feet. Today's Pendleton Times. Ain't this odd? He points at the headline. I skim it fast. Over the last 2 nights, a bunch of dogs have been killed in the southern end of our county, Pendleton, and down in Virginia, too, in Highland County, around Monterey. A few dead deer as well, all named by something sharp-toothed and savage. A rabid coyote, they surmise, an especially large one. I fold up the paper and run my fingers through Matt's hair. Finishing my scotch, I stand. I'm going out for a bit. Honey, what's wrong? I know you. What's up? Matt rises and grabs my shoulders. Do you need to feed? You don't need to go out for that. Here. He unbuttons his flannel shirt, chucks it off, and peels his thermal undershirt over his head. He stands before me, naked to the waist. I can't resist him. His rich smell, his fur-matted chest, his rounded redneck belly, his prominent, very hard nipples. And he knows it. My little mission can wait. Matt laughs, softly, triumphantly, as I hoist his burliness over my shoulder, carry him up the stairwell and into the bedroom, and lower him onto the big four-poster. He winces and sighs, clinging to me as I sink my teeth into his breast and begin a long, slow, carefully measured supping. He's weakening by the time I pull out and begin lapping his neck. He looks up at me, sleepy with a lopsided grin. When I sink my fangs into his carotid, he emits a tiny gasp and a soft sigh before going limp. Matt still passed out after my cautious blood feast, tucked beneath the quilts. He'll sleep till morning, giving me time to enjoy a little reconnoitering around the Potomac Highlands. I brush tangled hair from his face, kiss his nose, and leave him. Perfectly safe, slightly drained, and snuggled in, that's how I like my husband to slumber. I step out on the porch, and then down onto the snowy lawn. Mountaintop winds slam me. Above the stand of spruce trees back of the house, the full moon breaks free from cloud. I break free from human form, spreading membranous wings, and take flight. Exhilarating to cruise over these sparsely populated mountains and the great valleys in between, to dip over snow-heavy boughs and ice-edged creeks. I move southwest, veering in and out of cloud shadow and moonlight. The wolf moon, that's January's. Apropos for tonight's jaunt, for reading those headlines, I was able to remember where I'd smelled a scent like Donnie's before. The lights of Monterey glimmer below. Of course he won't be on duty tonight, not if I'm right. It takes me exactly 5 minutes to shift form in an alley, glamour the hostess at the Allegheny Cafe, get Donnie's address, and once more take flight. Up over another mountain range, the wind's fierce up here, battering me, then over the tiny hamlet of McDowell, across the black bulk of Bullpasture Mountain. And there's the white church at Headwaters, the moon-shimmering creek, the holler, the tight cove, and the trailer in a stand of pines, a ramshackle car parked beside it. Shifting again, I stride onto the stoop. The place is dark, but yes, I was right. Here are tracks in the snow. Misshapen amalgam of human foot and wolf paw, and more of that animalistic scent. I missed sift under the door, convenient to have outgrown after my first couple of centuries that pesky need for an invitation to enter. I explore.
heaps of dirty clothes, a banjo with a broken string, a couple of pizza boxes, piles of books on the kitchen counter and on the floor, leaves of grass, Oedipus, the consolation of philosophy, CDs, Led Zeppelin, Old Crow Medicine Show, Alice Krauss, Gillian Welch. Word for that wild smell filling the trailer's stuffy space could be any literature-loving country boy's messy man cave. I pick up a pair of dirty underwear, take a long sniff, and lick my lips. It's when I mist sift back outside and recongeal in human shape on the stoop that I hear growling. Ah, good. Let's see how this weir cub fights. There he is, on the edge of the woods, a short, stocky silhouette. He moves closer, stepping into the moonlight, hunched, the snarls growing deeper and louder. Pretty much the shape of the boy in the cafe, threateningly muscular, except he's bare to the waist and covered, as many a legend would lead me to expect, with shaggy black fur. And he sports dangerously large fangs, much more prominent than mine. He bears them at me and rumbles with rage. Donnie, I say, moving toward him a step, staring into his wide golden eyes, deep set beneath bushy brows. Might as well try a little mesmerism. Didn't work the last time I encountered one of these beings, but that one was much larger and much older. Donnie, it's Derek. Remember me? Calm down, weir cub. My mind reaches out, fingering for a way in. Human minds are full of little creases, inconsistencies, internal conflicts, self-doubts, and confused desires, much more than enough room to wedge in my will. But shit, just like that older lycanthrope, in this one, too, the mind is solid and hot, like charred, smoldering wood. When I try to manipulate it, it burns me. No time for further attempts at mind control. Now the weir cub leaps, very fast, but I'm faster, sidestepping. He crashes into a snowbank. Snarling, he scrambles to his feet, crouches, and leaps once more. Again, I step aside. This time he smashes into the wall of the trailer and falls to his knees. Predictable critters, their rage addles them, making them less than graceful in their attacks. I stride forward, grip the unkempt beast's head in my right hand, and make ready to slam him into the trailer wall again. As if to prove me wrong in my assessment of his agility, the furry fiend turns and sinks his teeth into my left forearm. Kurr, I hiss, trying to shake him off. Damn, I'd forgotten how strong they were, how much their saliva stings. Now the little monster's beginning to gnaw, and it fucking hurts. Teeth that sharp. He's about down to the undead bone. I punch him in the right eye, then the left. His jaw goes slack. His teeth release me. He staggers back. Troublesome brute, I spit, shifting into mist. I'll be back for you. He leaps again, lunging through my smoky wake, sinking wolf teeth into vapor. From mist I move to dark wings. The eastern horizon has that warning flush. I'm on my way home, flapping fast to beat yet another dawn. My flight's crooked, slowing my course. That damned werewolf saliva throbs through my left limb. If I were human, such a bite might eventually transform me. As it is, I'm going to be sore for days, and surly, too. I reach home just in time to check on my sweet Matt and his stentorian snores before taking to my cellar coffin. I fall asleep, plotting my revenge. I'll taste that bad dog's blood yet.
You were right, Matt whispers. A few days later, moon waning, we're sitting in our favorite booth at the Allegheny Cafe. He's got to be that wolfy beast. The boy has a hell of a set of shiners. Donnie's more sheepish and aloof than usual.
Howdy, guys. What y'all want?
He flips open his order pad. Other than your phone number? So where'd you get those black eyes?
I was boxing with my cousin.
Donnie mumbles, exhibiting his customary blush.
Boxing, huh? Sorry, man. Don't mean to be nosy. Well, you're still sexy as hell. Makes you look dangerous. Wild, you know?
Matt gives Donnie's shoulder a soft punch.
Downright ferocious.
Now that we know the cub's secret, Matt seems even more interested in betting him.
You like it rough? We can give it to you rough, Matt says with a wicked grin. When you gonna come to dinner, bad boy?
Donnie's pale face grades into flustered amusement. He ruffles his order pad.
Oh, one of these days. I can't talk now, so what y'all want to eat?
Well, ain't you a tease? And here I thought I was irresistible. Matt shakes his head and emits an exaggerated sigh. Derek just wants some Merlot. I want macaroni and cheese and the pulled pork sandwich. And how's about that slice of that coconut cream pie in the pastry case? Donnie scribbles without looking up. Slaw on your sandwich? Slaw? God, yes. What southern boy don't want slaw with barbecue?
Thanks, bud.
Donnie turns and trundles off. Again, we watch his broad rear end recede.
Wow, Matt repeats. First time I've ever wandered up a werewolf's butt. 10 years cohabitating with a vampire, and now this. So how did you know?
His smell, I chuckle, and keep your voice down.
Really? He just smells like a hot little guy I'd like to fuck.
What do you smell?
Animal. Wolf. I met one of these before. The scent's very distinctive.
Yeah? Where? When? Matt bends toward me, eyes gleaming.
Years cuddling with the undead have made him more fascinated than fearful when it comes to the supernatural.
In the Russian steppes. I encountered him during one of my nightly wanderings. He'd killed a goodly number of cattle in a village and a couple of villagers, too. He was a mite stronger than I was, though not as fast. We fought pretty much to a standstill. It was his territory, though, and I was just passing through, so I let him be after that. This boy, he's not as strong as that one, but he bites deep. My arm still burns.
So, what do we do? He's dangerous, right?
Matt rubs his forehead. His eyes range over the unaware inhabitants of Monterey enjoying their meals. We don't want him prowling around our neck of the woods. What if he hurts folks we care about? What if he comes after us? He's got to be pissed that you blacked his eyes.
I doubt that he remembers what happened. Probably doesn't even know how his eyes were blackened, or that it was me he encountered while he was in wolf form. Lycanthropic memories are spotty that way, or so the esoteric literature indicates.
Wait till the next full moon, sexpot. I'm going to conduct a little experiment, and with luck, you might end up with an unusual Valentine's Day present. We have a farmer's almanac at home, don't we? I need to consult the schedules for sunset and moonrise. And that was part one of the story, Wolf Moon, Hunger Moon, by Jeff Mann, part of the new collection of stories that is just out from Bare Bones Books, Desire and Devour, Stories of Blood and Sweat.
This has been Bear Soup with Ron Serratia, episode number 96. Shoutouts as usual. Music by the Mermen. Thanks to Joe of BearRadio.net, Jeff Mann, and Steve Berman. And always to my husband, Rocco. And thanks to you for listening to Bear Soup Podcast. Bubbles for the Bear Soup Hot Tub are powered by our sponsor, Bare Bones Books. You can email me at bearsoup@gmail.com. Our website is www.bearsouppodcast.net. Look for Bear Soup, Bear Radio, and Bare Bones Books also on Facebook. And like us, please. Bear Soup is produced for the Bear Radio Network, which is not responsible for the content of this podcast. And always remember, sometimes you eat the bear. Sometimes the bear eats you.